Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will be with us in 1 hour from now. He is, of course, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. We'll be talking about a series of things with Greg in the last hour of the show. I'm looking very much forward to that segment, as I look forward to it every Monday because of the insight that this man has. We have a series of things that we could be talking about this morning. In the first hour of the show, I'm going to be looking a little bit at Chronicles Magazine's tribute to Harold O.J. Brown. That is in the current Chronicles, September 2007. Harold O.J. Brown, of course, was my academic advisor at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago many years ago. My front page post on this for Al Bawaba News in Amman, Jordan, has now made its way into Christian News, the Lutheran News Weekly of September the 10th. That one's entitled The Death of Harold O.J. Brown, Culture Wars Fought, Lost, and Misunderstood. What was it that Dr. Brown did misunderstand, or at least did not emphasize, in regard to the culture wars of this country? I cover that in the current Christian News, September the 10th, on page 17. And, of course, Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine, as a tribute to Harold O.J. Brown, whose picture is on the front cover of the current Chronicles, and we'll be taking a look at that one this morning, briefly after the break. U.S. is warned by Iran. Iran also slams France for war comments. This is at Al Bawaba today in Amman, Jordan. Iran's army, according to Al Bawaba, has the capability to attack U.S. interests in the Middle East to a range of 2,000 kilometers, according to a top general in the elite Revolutionary Guards. Quote, today the Americans are around our country, but this does not mean that they are encircling us. They are encircled themselves and are within our range, General Mohammad Hassan Kusechi told the official IRNA news agency. Quote, if the United States is saying that they have identified 2,000 targets in Iran, then what is certain is that it is the Americans who are all around Iran and are equally our targets. Today, we have reached capacities that allow us to hit the enemy at a range of 2,000 kilometers, added Kusechi. His comments came after French Foreign Minister Bernard Kouchner said that the world should brace for possible war amid mounting tensions over Iran's controversial nuclear program. Kouchner warned, quote, we have to prepare for the worst, and the worst is war. He said that if Tehran possessed an atomic weapon, it would be a, quote, real danger for the whole world, unquote. He added that the current standoff was the greatest crisis of present times. The minister spoke ahead of a visit to Moscow Monday, where Iran's nuclear ambitions will be the main subject of discussion. Iran's official media has strongly criticized the French comments. Quote, the new occupants of the Elysee want to copy the White House, unquote, the state-owned IRNA news agency said in an editorial, accusing French President Nicolas Sarkozy of taking on, quote, an American skin, unquote. It said that, quote, the French people will never forget the era when a non-European moved into the Elysee, unquote. The occupants of the Elysee have become translators of the White House policies in Europe and have adopted a tone that is even harder, even more inflammatory and more illogical than that of Washington, the Iranian editorial read. What are the Iranians talking about? Apparently, they read what is in the British Telegraph this morning, which says that Bush is setting up America for war with Iran. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Hey. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This morning from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Greg Felton of Vancouver will join us in 1 hour from now. He, of course, is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Folks, as we have been warning for months on this show, things continue to heat up in the Middle East. Of course, Al Bawaba is reporting what the Iranians have to say today about the United States' threats. And Al Bawaba indicates, of course, that according to the official spokesman for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, they are ready for every contingency, supposedly, in regard to what the United States may or may not do in regard to their country. What were the Iranians referring to? Quite clearly, they were referring to the article today in the British Telegraph. Here it is, Bush setting up America for war with Iran. This is written by Philip Sherwell in New York and Tim Shipman in Washington, several correspondents with the UK Telegraph. They are reporting this morning that senior American intelligence and defense officials believe that President George W. Bush and his inner circle are taking steps to place America on the path to war with Iran, the Sunday Telegraph has learned. The Pentagon planners have developed a list of up to 2,000 bombing targets in Iran,
amid growing fears that among serving officers, diplomatic efforts to slow Iran's nuclear weapons program are doomed to fail. Pentagon and CIA officers say that they believe that the White House has begun a carefully calibrated program of escalation that could lead to a military showdown with Iran. Now it has emerged that Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, who has been pushing for a diplomatic solution, is prepared to settle her differences with Vice President Dick Cheney and sanction military action. In a chilling scenario of how war might come, a senior intelligence officer warned that public denunciation of Iranian meddling in Iraq, arming and training militants, would lead to cross-border raids on Iranian training camps and bomb factories. A prime target would be the Fajr base run by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Quds Force in southern Iran, where Western intelligence agencies say that armor-piercing projectiles used against British and U.S. troops are manufactured. Under the theory, which is gaining credence in Washington security circles, U.S. action would provoke a major Iranian response, perhaps in the form of moves to cut off Gulf oil supplies, providing a trigger for airstrikes against Iran's nuclear facilities and even its armed forces. Senior officials believe Mr. Bush's inner circle has decided he does not want to leave office without first ensuring that Iran is not capable of developing a nuclear weapon. The intelligence source said, quote, "No one outside that tight circle knows what is going to happen," unquote. But he said that within the CIA, quote, "Many, if not most officials, believe that diplomacy is failing and that top Pentagon brass believe the same," unquote. He said, quote, "A strike will probably follow a gradual escalation. Over the next few weeks and months, the U.S. will build tensions and evidence around Iranian activities in Iraq," unquote. Previously, accusations that Mr. Bush was set on war with Iran have come almost entirely from his critics. Many senior operatives within the CIA, according to the London Sunday Telegraph, are highly critical of Mr. Bush's handling of the Iraq war, though they themselves are considered ineffective and unreliable by hardliners close to Mr. Cheney. The vice president is said to advocate the use of bunker-busting tactical nuclear weapons against Iran's nuclear sites. His allies dispute this, but Mr. Cheney is understood to be lobbying for airstrikes if sites can be identified where Revolutionary Guard units are training Shia militias. Recent developments over Iraq appear to fit with the pattern of escalation predicted by Pentagon officials. General David Petraeus, Mr. Bush's senior Iraq commander, denounced the Iranian proxy war, quote-unquote, in Iraq last week as he built support in Washington for the U.S. military surge in Baghdad. The U.S. also announced the creation of a new base near the Iraqi border of Badra, the first of what could be several locations to tackle the smuggling of weapons from Iran. A State Department source familiar with White House discussions said that Ms. Rice, under pressure from senior counterproliferation officials to acknowledge that military action may be necessary, is now working with Mr. Cheney to find a way to reconcile their positions and present a united front to the president. The source said, quote, "When you go down there and see the body language, you can see that Cheney is still the man, capital T, capital M. Condi pushed for diplomacy, but she is no dove. If it becomes necessary, she will be on board. Both of them are very close to the president, and where they differ, they are working together to find a way to present a position they can both live with," unquote. The official contrasted the efforts of the Secretary of State to work with the vice president with the, quote, "open warfare between Colin Powell and Donald Rumsfeld before the Iraq War," unquote. Ms. Rice's bottom line is that if the administration is to go to war again, it must build the case over a period of months and win sufficient support on Capitol Hill. The Sunday Telegraph has been told that Mr. Bush has privately promised her that he would consult, quote-unquote, meaningfully with congressional leaders of both parties before any military action against Iran, on the understanding that Ms. Rice would resign if this did not happen. The intelligence officer said that the U.S. military has, quote, two major contingency plans, unquote, for airstrikes on Iran. Quote, "One is to bomb only the nuclear facilities. The second option is for a much bigger strike that would, over 2 or 3 days, hit all of the significant military sites as well. This plan involves more than 2,000 targets," unquote. This is what we are reading today in the Sunday Telegraph of London, coming to us from Philip Sherwell in New York and Tim Shipman in Washington. Folks, this gets back to the same thing that Hesham Talawi has been emphasizing. Who are the handlers of Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and Ms. Rice? Who are these Jewish neoconservatives that surround these people and that are giving them this pipeline of direct advice from Tel Aviv? That, in conjunction with the fact that Congress is quite clearly Zionist-occupied territory at this point, as Pat Buchanan would say it, shows us beyond a shadow of a doubt who is really behind this war, who is pushing for an expansion of this war, who wants to see the United States involved in a proxy war against Iran on behalf of the State of Israel. It begs several other questions that we've also talked about on this show. Who is the leading nuclear, chemical, and biological military power in the Middle East? Well, quite clearly, it is Israel, America's so-called leading ally in the region. Number two, is Iran a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty? Yes, they are. Has Israel signed on to the Non-Proliferation Treaty? No, she has not. And when we begin speaking about the whole situation as we presently find it in the Middle East, who has been behind our current effort in Iraq? Who has been behind what has been going on in Lebanon? Who has continued to settle occupied territories for Israel, despite the fact that Israel agreed to turn over these occupied territories at Oslo in 1993? And when we look at the whole issue of Israel and Palestine, what Israel was granted in 1947 by the UN partition gave them 51% of a land that was not theirs. 51% and 750,000 people who were on that property and whose ancestors had been on that property for 2,000 years found themselves to be disenfranchised and put into camps. The losers, the Palestinians, got the remaining 48%. And yet, when we look at the percentage of that land that the Palestinians are now willing to settle for, that has dwindled from 48% to 22%. That's been recognized by all of the experts in this area who have looked at the documents, who have looked at the percentages, who have looked at the population shifts, and who it is that presently controls these territories. So the Palestinians go from 100% control to 48% ownership, thanks to the UN in 1947. 48% shrinks to 22% by 1993. And now, when you look at the new Israeli settlements and the expanded Israeli settlements just since 1993, and the further expansion of their Canton policy and their building of a wall and their ongoing movement to settle territories that they agreed to give up at Oslo, 22% has in reality shrunk to approximately 9%. Is that even Stephen politics? Is that negotiation? Is that diplomacy? Or is that blind theft by armed force and naked power? Think of this, folks. You own 100% of your property. If you are a homeowner, let's assume that you do. Many of the people who listen to this show, of course, are not homeowners and are not property owners. But for those of you who are, think of owning 100% today and then having someone sticking a gun in your face tomorrow and say, you know, you only own 48% of what was yours before. So 51% is taken away from you by armed force without any recourse at all in international courts or anything else. And then the next thing you know, in the years that follow, your percentage shrinks from 48% to 22%, and then from 22% down to 9%, but you're getting a reasonable deal. That's not supposed to make you angry. It's not supposed to make you vindictive. It's not supposed to make you feel that that particular party that is involved in this has caused you and your family great grief and great harm. This is what Jewish neoconservatives are asking the United States people to believe, that there's no connection whatsoever between what we have done in Palestine and the wider mess that we are now involved in throughout the Middle East, including this controversy with Iran, where we are being pushed into yet another war on behalf of Jewish and Israeli interests. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will...
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada, will join us in approximately, about 35 minutes from now. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. He and I are going to be chatting about three or four items that he suggested to me in an email communication from Canada last night. I'll let you in on some of that, of course, before Greg actually comes on at 8 o'clock. So, according to the Sunday London Telegraph, Bush is setting America up for war with Iran. That's the latest from London. The Iranians, of course, have acknowledged that they have seen that report in the London paper and have responded to it officially, according to what Al Bawaba tells us today in Amman, Jordan. This then leads to a couple of other items that we ought to take a look at. Johnny Kramer today at lewrockwell.com has a piece that I want you to zero in on. It's entitled, The Addition of Alan Keyes. The Addition of Alan Keyes. You know, folks, it's abundantly obvious that in 1996, the neoconservatives in the Zionist lobby in the Republican Party were so afraid of Pat Buchanan's campaign that they were trying to do anything that they could to sabotage Pat Buchanan. Now, there was a pattern that was established between the Jewish establishment and the Buchanan campaign that I think is replaying itself here with Ron Paul. In 1996, the Jewish lobby and its forces in the Republican Party decided initially to ignore Pat Buchanan. And then, of course, as it became apparent that he could not be ignored any longer, they began to demonize him. And in addition to demonizing him, they did something very, very significant at the Iowa caucus. They tapped someone who could fool the Christian right and fool the masses of people who would attend the Iowa caucus in the Republican Party who would not know what was going on. They decided to run a stalking horse, Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes, of course, is a neocon. He has very close ties to the Israeli lobby. He was the college roommate at Harvard of William Kristol, the editor of the Weekly Standard. Need we say more? Alan Keyes runs in the Iowa caucus. What does he do? He does exactly what the Zionist lobby wants him to achieve in that Iowa caucus in 1996. He diverts enough votes away from Pat Buchanan so that the winner of the Iowa caucus is not Pat Buchanan, who otherwise would have been the winner. It's Bob Dole. Bob Dole wins the Iowa caucus, saves the Republican establishment and the Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party and the Zionist lobby away from the embarrassment of having Buchanan walk away with both the New Hampshire primary and the Iowa caucus. That's what Alan Keyes accomplished on behalf of the Israeli lobby in 1996. Now Johnny Kramer tells us that these same people have turned to Alan Keyes once more to try and divert attention away from the Ron Paul campaign. Johnny Kramer notes this morning at lewrockwell.com that the Ron Paul campaign has the establishment running scared. For the latest proof, witness the addition to the race of yet another pro-war neocon, Alan Keyes. Many people find it unsettling to ask questions about the reality of democracy, especially when the answers may contradict the bromides drummed into them for years in their government school civics classes. This is coming to us, of course, from Johnny Kramer. Let's leave aside, he says, the fundamental questions about the legitimacy of democracy for another day, even though such inquiries are extremely important. For now, let's assume that democracy in principle is the panacea it's supposed to be, and examine how it works in the United States in practice. This may be discomforting for some to consider, but elections are mostly scams perpetrated by the ruling elite, says Kramer, to con average unsophisticated people into thinking that they control their government. This is best evidenced by the farcical presidential elections held every 4 years, where the establishment fields two interchangeable candidates as your choice, quote unquote. It's not necessarily, says Kramer, that vote counts are being rigged, although such fraud undoubtedly occurs in some cases. It's that regardless of who receives the most votes, the government is reelected. Whether the voters chose interchangeable socialist fascist candidate A or B is mostly irrelevant. Going back over the last generation, says Johnny Kramer, what was the urgent difference between George W. Bush and John Kerry, George W. Bush and Al Gore, Bill Clinton and Bob Dole, George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton, or George Herbert Walker Bush and Michael Dukakis? In reconsidering these races, don't look back on them in terms of relatively trivial distractions like gay marriage, stem cell research, or medical marijuana. Think in terms of fundamental questions about the legitimacy and nature of the state. For example, by what right, says Kramer, does the state presume to tax your income at any level? Are you still a free person when you have a portion of your income confiscated as the price of making a living? If you believe you are still free now, at what level of confiscation would you no longer consider yourself to be free? This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned for Greg Felton at 8 o'clock.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are going to have, of course, Greg Felton with us at approximately 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And by the way, Mark Lynn's No More Wars for Israel conference, which is being held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. The Anti-Defamation League is now saying that this conference represents yet another manifestation of extremism in America. Folks, take a look at what we read this morning coming to us from the London Sunday Telegraph, Bush setting America up for war with Iran. Think of what we have been supporting in Palestine. Think of where this war with Iraq has taken us in terms of borrowed money and national debt and death and destruction without end. Do you think opposing that agenda indicates that you are an extremist? That candor, which quite clearly permits us and commands us to say that Israel and the Jewish lobby are the driving force behind this involvement in the Middle East and have been since 1947, that saying that makes you an extremist? This is absolutely nutty thinking, frightening thinking, and a part of the program of the demonization on the part of the Anti-Defamation League toward those of us who want our old republic back. They tried to demonize Pat Buchanan with some success in the 1990s. That process of demonization now extends to anyone, apparently, who opposes what Abraham Foxman wants to believe is the only line to take on Israel, the only line to take on Zionism, the only line to take on this present conflict that America finds itself in the Middle East. The No More Wars for Israel conference is being held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. If you would like to attend, if you would like to send the conference a gift, if you would like to participate in any meaningful way, you can contact Mark Glenn of the American Free Press, who is also putting together this No More Wars for Israel conference, by going to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That's nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That conference, again, is October 12th through the 14th in Orange County, California. I notice as I go down the list of speakers today that a couple of things emerge. Mark Glenn asks us to note that the conference is being dedicated to Mordechai Vanunu, the former Israeli nuclear technician who spent 18 years in the hellhole of an Israeli prison for trying to warn the world about the most dangerous nation in the world possessing the most dangerous weapons in the world. That's Israel, folks, not Iran. Vanunu has recently been convicted of violating an Israeli court order barring him from speaking to foreign journalists, and faces an additional 6 months in prison. And, of course, Mordechai Vanunu has also corroborated independently the line taken by Michael Collins Piper in his very fine book, Final Judgment, that the Israeli Mossad and the then Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Ben-Gurion, were the ultimate powers behind the throne in the assassination of President John Kennedy. If you've not read Final Judgment by Michael Collins Piper, you need to. I, of course, have a review of Mike's book, Final Judgment, on my website at markdankoff.com if you want to get a taste of what is in Final Judgment. This is where we are, folks. How much longer is this sort of thing going to continue unchallenged? I think what has the Anti-Defamation League worried is that an increasing number of Americans have come to the position that those who are going to speak at this No More Wars for Israel conference are, in effect, the patriotic Americans and the ones who are speaking the truth. The extremists are the ones who say that we should support Israel and Zionism at any cost, whether that involves genocide against Palestinians and Lebanese Arabs and Iranians, or whether it involves some other thing that the Israeli lobby wants to do domestically in the United States in regard to the destruction of our constitutional republic. We will be going through this list of confirmed speakers for this conference in Southern California at some point during the show. I simply wish to note that there are several new ones that Mark Glenn has posted just since Friday. Documentary makers Wendy Campbell and Mark Green of Marwin Media are now a part of this No More Wars for Israel conference. I've had both Wendy and Mark on the show in the past. They will be out there in Orange County, California. That's good to see that they have been added to that list. There are several other new people, as I go down this list, who will also be a part of this this great conference. I will mention them before the show's out, as well as to say that Mark Glenn is working on having some people in attendance at this conference or hooked up with it live by telephone or by film report whose identities you would be amazed by. We will see how that progresses in the next month. That's all I can tell you right now. But this conference is absolutely pivotal, folks. War is coming. A third world war is coming unless God decides to divert us from this disastrous course that we have embarked upon as a nation, as the Christian Zionists and the Zionists have led us down this path since 1947. Are we going to speak out against it? A few people are. And that's, again, where this No More Wars for Israel conference comes into play in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. Back to Johnny Kramer's essay now, the edition of Alan Keyes, which you can find at lourockwell.com. Kramer, of course, makes the obvious point, and yet a point that is well worth reiterating, that when you look at all of these races between Republicans and Democrats in recent years, it's all a matter of Hegelian dialectic. There is no fundamental difference between these candidates. This becomes abundantly clear. Kramer, of course, questions this in terms of tax policy and the way in which the state is taking your income, determining what you can put into your own body. The state is presuming to tell you whom you can hire to perform a service for you through things like licensing laws, and it just goes on and on and on. He then returns to the theme of these presidential races, where he says, think back again to the presidential races of the past generation. Based on such fundamental questions, should you have had a preference between either of the two major candidates in those elections, even if you personally chose not to vote or even to endorse the political process or the state? Would your life have been significantly better or worse by any of these fundamental criteria if one candidate had been elected over the other? If so, how? Even if one seemed preferable, did that candidate do what he promised or not do what he promised to do? Even the lesser of two evils argument is deceptive, says Johnny Kramer. For example, a fairly strong case could have been made for a libertarian in 2000 that Bush was at least the lesser of two evils compared to Gore. Many who were aware of third-party candidates, Harry Brown, Howard Phillips, or Pat Buchanan, preferred them, but voted for Bush anyway to keep Gore out of office and because none of those other candidates had a chance to win. But look how that turned out. Lesser evil Bush has enlarged the budget roughly three times faster than did Clinton, has invaded two countries, one of which was clearly a criminal violation of international law, totally based on lies, has enacted the largest increase in entitlement spending since LBJ's Great Society, has shredded civil liberties, including issuing a series of executive orders that lay the groundwork for martial law and allow the government to detain American citizens indefinitely without the habeas corpus protection that is a basic right of civilized society going back over 700 years to the Magna Carta, and helping to create a massive, monstrous new federal bureaucracy, all in the name of fighting terrorism, and has allowed the real inflation rate to climb as high as 15% on his watch, among other atrocities. What could Al Gore have done, says Johnny Kramer, that would have been worse than all of that? The nature of this farce, he says, and the illusion of choice is further evidenced by the fact that third-party candidates who might disrupt the establishment script are not allowed into the debates. Perot was invited in 1992 only after he spent enough of his own money to make himself so visible that the establishment was embarrassed into including him. He got 19% of the vote, which is why they didn't make the same mistake with him in 1996 or with anyone else in 1996 or since. They're crippled from raising and effectively spending money through campaign finance and ballot access laws. Even 1 year ago, 2008 promised to be yet another farce. It was obvious on election night 2006 that the media had already anointed the viable candidates for 2008, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards on the Democrat side, John McCain, Rudy Giuliani, and Mitt Romney on the Republican side. While these things can never be certain until the primaries, things appear to have basically gone according to plan on the Democrat side. Anointed frontrunner Hillary Clinton has been pulling around 40% all year, likely in large part because the establishment has been pushing her as the quote-unquote anti-war alternative against the Republicans, even though she has made it obvious that she intends to keep their Iraq war and their military-industrial complex going throughout her term, not to mention the war she intends to make on American citizens through her social programs. Anointed contenders Obama and Edwards are still in contention, making the foregone conclusion less obvious. And the establishment even made it look like the voters were controlling things by placing Bill Richardson into that gray area between the anointed top tier and the rest, which is a hint at whom they might choose for the other half of the ticket as the vice presidential candidate. John in Tennessee is on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, John.
I'm enjoying your comments and whatnot this morning. A question I had for you.
Sure.
I agree with you with Alan Keyes. But I don't see the need or the, any necessity in bringing him in from the point of view of the neocons. I mean, I believe that's why Thompson got in. Do you agree with me or disagree?
Maybe that's why both of them have gotten in. In other words, I think the more they can divide and splinter, maybe the better off it is for the neocons. And I think that particularly when it comes to Alan Keyes, John, maybe the real thinking behind the Jewish neocons at this point is that Keyes will have more pull with so-called Christian right, Christian conservative voters than Thompson, and maybe it's essential on the part of the planners that be that Keyes ensure that that Christian right vote remains diverted from Dr. Paul. Maybe that's the game plan here.
Well, Thompson came home this weekend. You know, I'm in Tennessee. I'm about 80 miles north of Lawrenceburg.
Yes.
And he came home. I mean, he is the darling child of the state of Tennessee. There's very few people that really realize what's going on. And this is something that's really troubling to me, Mark. I don't understand why, except for the fact that people are so, their time is taken from them so much that they're not paying attention. What is it that we can do? I guess if they don't care, we can't beat them to death to make them realize that their nation's being taken.
Well, that's exactly right, John. And in getting back to what I read from the London Sunday Telegraph earlier in the broadcast, talking about what the British quite clearly see as Bush setting America up for war with Iran, you know, let's face it, these types of articles are not simply appearing in the American Free Press now. This is what is creeping into the international mainstream press worldwide. So we are talking about clearly what is being recognized by more and more people as the imminent threat of a third world war for the interests that we've identified, at least on this show. And the American public just seems to be going along in this comatose state. It really is quite striking to me. And I know that this comatose state is something that you're frustrated with. I'm frustrated with it. A lot of people who are trying to get the population to wake up are just rather nonplussed that we can be this close to a domestic and global catastrophe. And yet thus far, the American public seems to be just walking lock, stock, and barrel, and in goose step with the way that this roadmap is being laid out for them. It'll be interesting to see, however terrifying this thought is, what will happen if the next stage of the pushing of the envelope does occur, and if there is a major false flag incident that produces the military scenario that is mentioned by the London Sunday Telegraph yesterday, and we then have a reimposition of a military draft in the United States, in conjunction with further police state measures domestically to suppress freedom of expression. If we see those things actually come to fruition, which I believe it quite easily could, it will then, I think, finally determine once and for all whether the American public is finally going to react or if we are simply going to march like sheep to the slaughter.
Well, Mark, I wonder I wonder at times if it's not because I believe in the providence of God. I wonder if at times it's not in God's design to keep people's their eyes closed. I mean, when you approach people with the loss of sovereignty, even leaving a conspiracy behind, not even mentioning the conspiracy, the conspiracy facts, but leaving that out of the conversation, if you bring it up that you're losing your country. Man, the looks that you get, it's like you've fallen off a turnip truck. And they go on and they spend their money and they drink their beer and they watch their football. And as long as they can have that in their big screen television, they really don't care. And,
well,
and to me, it's frustrating to the point where I've come to where I'm thinking that it's just not God's will right now for people to see the truth, either that they can't handle it or that they haven't paid enough of a price for their lack of interest and lack of paying attention, you know, that we're really going to receive the judgment of God in this country.
I think your point of view is well taken, John, and while obviously only God knows if this invisible line of judgment has been crossed by the American empire and the American population. Certainly, you have to contemplate that question, even though only God knows. And just listening to your description this morning reminds me of this whole thing that is clearly raised by Isaiah, where he talks about a people who could physically hear and yet who weren't understanding what they were hearing, and who had physical eyesight and yet could not really see and perceive from God's perspective, and that this inability to really hear and to really see was rooted in a hardness of heart that had caused God to turn them over to a spiritual blindness and a spiritual deafness that ultimately did consummate in judgment. And it seems that what you're talking about today is the possibility that this is exactly where the United States is. And I personally believe that if we are not yet there, we are perilously close to being there. And again, only God knows whether or not this line has been crossed. But when I look at all of these other previous empires in history, some mentioned in the biblical narrative, others of which we read about in secular history, it seems to me that this is a pattern that cannot be ignored in terms of how close to apocalypse the American Republic might be. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. John, God bless you.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
We'll be right back.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have passed Greg Felton's telephone number over to my technician at RBN, so hopefully around 8 o'clock this morning or shortly thereafter, we'll have Greg Felton up with us live from Vancouver. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. You know, when we talk about this whole business of Alan Keyes and why he might be getting into the Republican presidential sweepstakes, I was going to say to John in Tennessee that he might want to take a look at that article, The Addition of Alan Keyes by Johnny Kramer. That's at lourockwell.com. And we have not gotten far enough into the piece this morning in our remaining minutes to further thrash out Kramer's rationale for why Keyes would be once again a neocon stalking horse in this race. Why the need to put Keyes in there when there are so many other neocon shills who are running in the Republican primaries? Kramer tries to unpack his rationale for why this might be in that essay at lourockwell.com. Again, it's entitled The Addition of Alan Keyes. We might take a look at it briefly tomorrow morning in further detail to try and get to the bottom of what is happening in this situation. Some other news articles that might be of interest to our people this morning. Of course, we've been talking about this London Sunday Telegraph post from yesterday entitled Bush Setting Up America for War with Iran. We've been speaking at Al Bawaba today, the Middle East Gateway in Amman, Jordan, about the Iranian response to that British London Telegraph report. Paul Grubach has a piece, an essay that we will take a look at sometime this week. It's entitled The Holocaust Ideology, A Theological Threat to Christianity and Islam. Very important essay by Paul Grubach. We'll probably take a look at this, if not tomorrow, then the day after tomorrow. I want to look at that that writing in more detail. A couple of interesting pieces today that we find at Dr. Michael Chosadovsky's globalresearch.ca. These include the Soviet collapse, the growth of Islamic fundamentalism, and the intensification of U.S. hostility toward Iran. There's a second essay entitled America's Long War, The Legacy of the Iraq-Iran and Soviet-Afghan Wars. And then another one at globalresearch.ca, which I plan on taking a closer look at either later in this show with Greg Felton or tomorrow. It's an essay by Shiri MacArthur entitled A Conservative Estimate of Total Direct U.S. Aid to Israel, $108 billion. $108 billion. Is the Anti-Defamation League right when it refers to us as extremists? Those of us who say that Israel is driving American foreign policy and that it is the driving force behind our cultural decline as well. This is all going to be looked at the No More Wars for Israel conference being held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th in Orange County. Sign up for that conference, folks. You can do so by going to the web and finding nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. Two other things I'd ask you to do this morning. Support the Republic Broadcasting Network. We need you, and we need you like never before. You can call us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or find us at republicbroadcasting.org. Send us your gifts on an ongoing basis. We'd also ask you to support the American Free Press. You can help those fine folks at 1-888-699-NEWS with gifts, with additional subscriptions, and with book sales. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
With recent